You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this Indigo Sunday. Our sixth of 7 weeks where we are working with the creative life and walking the creative path, both physically in our gardens and emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in the work that we're doing with the book by Eric Butterworth called The Creative Life. As we begin this very special day where after the second service, we're going to be celebrating all that we have walked together and also during our services celebrating being created in the image and likeness of the divine, let us begin with prayer. So I invite you to take a deep breath and close your eyes. As we breathe, and know wherever I am, God is. And wherever God is, I am. Both arising simultaneously. And so, beloved, we open body, heart, mind, soul to the living, loving, divine presence that moves in, through, and as our very being. Let there be creation in God's image and likeness as we walk the creative path leading to divine manifestation. And so it is. Amen. So we are on day six of the creation story found in the first chapter of Genesis. There are actually three creation stories in the traditional Bible that we call the Bible. One is found in Genesis chapter 1, another is found in Genesis chapter 2, and then another is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where the Word became flesh. The Word was with God. So when we look at, especially in the Genesis iterations of the creation story, one of the ways that we look at it in Unity and in New Thought when we start interpreting the Bible is that the first chapter of Genesis is really about involution. Involution of God, involution of spirit. So there's this creative capacity that is coming into the world. It's like a pure unbridled, and it's filtering into a more coalesced, manifested expression. That's really what involution, when we talk about the involution of spirit, that's what we're talking about. There's like this downward descent of grace. This is where the dove descends. There's an involution. There's an infilling of spirit. And that really is this creative process that we've been particularly walking, of moving from this piercing of let there be light, let there be this divine pulse of energy, of consciousness that is informing our very lives, is informing this world, informing the universe, informing an idea or something that is coming in to be expressed, whatever level of level you want to look at it. That's really what this form of the creation story, what we're looking at, this coming in of the divine. There's also an equal movement, and sometimes actually recently when we've been doing our centering prayer retreats and our evening gatherings, we've actually been walking the gardens both forward, starting with site one, all the way through to site eight, as a symbol that we are walking the involution process, we're walking this journey from the most expanded, the most pure emanation of God through to the manifestation of that as site 8, where we come back into the world as that consciousness, but as a manifestation of that consciousness. But one of our attendees said, why don't we walk it the other way too? And I said, that is an excellent idea. So we started walking it from site 8 back around to site 1 as a symbol of the evolutionary creation story that is also present in the Bible in the second chapter of Genesis, where there is this creation of Adam, of man, that then has this whole journey. There's talks and talks and talks that we could do on that whole chapter of Genesis, where there is this waking up of this the development of the spirit, the Adam man or the human man into realizing our spiritual nature, into waking up. So that is that second chapter in Genesis where there is an evolution. We start at the most basic form, and we grow, we expand, we evolve into the fullness of who we are. Which one is right? Remember your polarity wisdom. Both. Both are happening simultaneously. There is an involution, an infilling of spirit, and there is also an evolution of our consciousness. It is both. So as we're walking, we've been particularly walking the creative path as a sign of involution, of the infilling of spirit. But there is an equal evolutionary quality to what we are holding and cultivating within our own consciousness that has the capacity to experience the fullness of the divine. This becomes really important when we get to stage 6, where in the scripture it says, God said, let us make man and woman in our image according to our likeness. And then that goes into, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, which is a hearkening back to last week or the previous day's scripture about having the sea filled with fish and the birds of the air coming into manifestation, these divine ideas, these supporting thoughts that will be a help to the manifestation of whatever is coming in, whether, again, it be an idea or the creation of something in particular or your own awakening process. So let there be and let us make. There's an us now. There's a collective consciousness that is calling in the divine. Let us make them, human, you, in our image and in our likeness. So this is a huge piece that if we do not have, as Todd mentioned, this is where we get to step into the exploration of what does it mean to you to be made in the image and the likeness of God. What does that hold? In unity, one of our basic truths and teachings is that you are a divine manifestation of God. You hold that consciousness. You are that consciousness. We are all born in original blessing. So for those of you who had some embedded theology that gave you the concept or the idea that you are born a sinner, In unity, we invite you to really look at why you still hold that. And shift your perception, shift your orientation to a higher truth, to the truth that you were born in the image, you were made in the image and likeness of God. And the evolutionary journey in particular helps us wake up to that. Involution, you can only be filled as much as you have the capacity to hold. If you've got a thimble, if you're getting a downpour, how much are you going to be able to hold of that downpour of rain? A thimble size. As we grow, and this is where the evolution of our consciousness, our practice, building a solid container, that thimble can start to grow into a barrel, into a vat. So when we get these infillings, these divine downloads come, there's a capacity at a greater level to see the fullness of what is arising and arriving from the divine. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. So this is something that we work with a lot here, that God realization, self-realization, this higher S self that we want to be have in charge as much as possible. And I've been really sitting with all of this in light of some of the things in my own life right now that have been challenging. And I would say that as I have talked with congregants and even friends out in the greater world, there is something in the air that is just stirring. And I think it has a lot to do with the election, or we're making it about the election, but it's also beyond that. There's something just crackling in the field. And this is a ripe opportunity to do some evolution of our consciousness and hold a new perspective and reorient to what we know to be true. That meditation that we worked with, the highest, how can we focus on the highest truth? And we worked on that last week in particular. So I was aware of, and my newsletter article is on this as well, I'm aware, like Todd and I share the same Enneagram orientation. So one of my favorite stories about that is one time we were meeting many, many years ago, and all of a sudden I walked in and he walked in and we started meeting. And we started addressing what we needed to address. And then about a minute or two in, I said, "Hi, by the way." And he said, "Oh yeah, hi." So we share that same kind of let's get to it, which, you know, and this is where the Enneagram becomes really helpful. It helps us remember where we check out. Our coping mechanism for how we deal with things that we feel are beyond our egoic structures to handle. And I've been aware that during this time of transition, where Mary Jean is leaving and I'm wanting to honor that she's staying on and helping us a couple days a week out of kindness and generosity, that I'm not wanting to overburden her or overburden our staff in this transition phase that's taking a little bit longer than we anticipated. We're on God's time, not ours, apparently. And so in the midst of that, who's holding the stress of that change? Me. Because I am particularly oriented to taking that on. Not because anyone asked me to, but because that is my coping mechanism. That is how I say, how my ego says, "I got this. There's something going on, so I know how to handle it." We all have our different coping mechanisms that says when something is outside of our comfort zone, when something is amiss in the field that's within us, when unchecked, it will say, "I've got this." So I wrote my article this week, or this month, on looking at when you're stressed and instead shifting it into stretching. Looking, and those are not the same thing. When we talk about feeling stressed, we think that we're stretching, we're growing. And it's not true. We're actually creating a toxic environment for ourselves, and hopefully I haven't leaked out to those around us. Because what stretching does is there's a conscious intentionality. And for those of you who have done yoga, it both annoys and reminds me when the instructor says, don't push yourself. Just go to that point where you're just feeling the pain and rest into that. And, you know, especially because I used to be very flexible, I'm used to going all the way down to the floor, right? And so I push myself to go all the way down to the floor. And the teaching is, don't do that. Go to where you are feeling the push enough or the pain enough and rest into that. Because what's happening in that moment is that there is a consciousness of this is the edge. This is the edge. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. And the evolution of our consciousness pushes us into, it stretches us into experiencing that at the level that we are ready and capable to experience. Stressing out our system blocks us from really experiencing any of that. So I was looking at what are some of the indicators of when we're beginning to show signs. And you can look at this from a perspective of the election or something in your own life. Some of these are just in the field. 10 warning signs, this is from the Huffington Post, that you're under too much stress. Negativity is creeping in. If your general orientation is negative, if when you think about the election, you have not one positive thing to say, or if you're thinking about something in your life, and there is not one positive thing to say, or it's generally negative, there's probably something going on there. Nothing is easy. I have trained myself when I'm literally dropping things or if I'm, you know, just kind of feeling frazzled. Nothing is easy. There's blocks, blocks, blocks. I know that's a sign that I need to stop. In fact, you know, when I'm working on a big project and it's just block, 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 I know it's time to go take a break or rest. Come back in the next morning, because pushing it is not going to, pushing it is the opposite. It's that stress again. Decisions are impossible. This is a little bit what we worked up about with last week, where there's so much scattered, there's so many pieces of input or information that there's no way to order them in according to our values, according to importance, according to any other valuing system. Life is turbocharged. You're scheduled to the max. And you need caffeine and sleeping pills to get through your day. People are a pain. We'll just move on from that one. Illness is present a lot of the time. You're constantly feeling run down or sick. Life is everything or nothing. One of my favorite Debbie De La Cuesta quotes is, if you aren't laughing, it's not funny. Or if you don't laugh, it's not funny. There's a lightness. You know, there's something about stress. That's like a badge of honor. And a sense of like, oh, this person's taking it really seriously because they're stressed about it. What does that say about our society? You know, the more stressed you are, the more important you are, the more you've got big things going on in your life, the more you feel alive, whatever it may be, the more you have to talk about and complain with your friends and family. And with that, there's a sense of it's all or nothing. There's no gray area. There's no refinement. And as Todd mentioned, you know, especially here at Unity of Tustin, we ask those tough questions. We ask those big questions where it is not just a yes or no or an easy answer. This is the way to do it. There is a nuance to life. There is a mystery to life. That when we're stressed, we have very, very little capacity for. Self-harm habits start to sneak in. And this primarily to me is because we are so unconscious. Stress is conscious-less. There's a disconnection. When we are created in the image and the likeness of God, it takes a orientation and an awareness of that divine that we are, that higher self, that wisdom aspect, that the wisdom and love that this stage six really holds energetically when we start looking at the 12 powers and some of the qualities that Jesus called forward when he lived from the Christed consciousness. Self-harm habits don't have a place in that in the same way. They're coping mechanisms, like drinking too much or whatever it may be, not sleeping, pushing. Happiness is elusive. If we're really honest, we're not happy when we're stressed. There's this intensity. And then finally, sleeping properly is impossible. When we're stressed, there's a sense of just not being able to take care of ourselves. Sleep is one of the most restorative things. When I'm working with someone in crisis, you know, typically sleep is the first thing to go, but it's the thing that we need the most. It actually helps restore our sense of self. It changes our brain chemistry when we're not sleeping. So it's important. The world we live in today is so bombarded. I love reading the mystics of old and putting myself in that time period where, you know, these nuns and these lovers of God were, you know, yes, there were stresses in their environment, but there was also like, you know, it took 5 days to go a mile practically, you know, so there was just a different pace of life. There were hardships, but it was a different pace. You know, now if I'm not checking my cell phone every minute, I have to mindfully not check my cell phone. Some of you don't have that issue, but others do. We're bombarded with stuff all the time. There's this intensity to what's surrounding us. So when we get, and it's easier to get caught up in that. So it makes it even more important as we look at the sixth day, where we're really claiming there's been this movement coming through. And this is where it drops in and it lands in our sense of who we are and how we're going to give birth and show up. So what Eric Butterworth says is that your potential is not something you might possibly achieve. It is a reality even before you discover it. You are made in the image and likeness of God. That is a truth. It's already there, waiting for you to discover it. It is that of you that is always whole, even if the surface self is ill or confused or lonely. So this stage in particular, it becomes really important to nurture the silence, Go into meditation. Do your shadow work, because it will hold the opportunity for you and for all of us to live from this consciousness that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So as you go into this next week, and we're going to be, we're participating in, I will actually be on a plane while this is happening, but I have I'll set my alarm to go off anyway. At 4:00 today, we'll be participating with James Twyman and a group from around the world that will be holding the elections in our meditation for 15 minutes. It was part of the email that we sent out. Encourage you to participate as well, wherever you are, for 15 minutes. Hold the highest intention for this time. Because what happens in the United States happens, you know, it has world implications. So we're really holding this for the world. And then there are other groups that are doing things on election day, but whatever, however you're being called to, that's one way to stop, to pause, to remember. But instead of looking at, when you realize that you're stressed, some of those warning signs perhaps, ask the question, instead of stress, how am I being asked to stretch? It's a different conversation. It's a different question. Because in the stress, there's something that's asking to be born. There's something that's asking to come forward. In my case, one of them is an executive director. Right? I mean, something is asking to come forward. Stretching brings consciousness into it. We go to that point where it's just enough pain to grow us, to look at things without shutting down, without going unconscious. This is how we develop that capacity even more. To demonstrate, to live from being made in the image and the likeness of God. So as you really hold this, I invite you to let this quote sink in at the deepest levels of your being. The divine intent, active as you, has one desire: to express expansively and creatively its uniqueness as the perfect idea it is in infinite mind. This is your spiritual destiny. The divine intent active in you has one desire: to express the unique and perfect idea that you are as you. This is your spiritual destiny. And then whatever you do holds that resonance, holds that field of consciousness. Whether it's going to the grocery store, going to an airport, voting, cooking dinner with your family, going to work, that divine expression is always at work, always manifesting. In the stretch, not the stress.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.